How many of y'all glad it's Mother's Day? That's good, because you know what? You couldn't change it anyway, so you might as well be glad that it is. This morning as I walked into the church, everybody goes, "Hey, you got your suit on." I said, "It's a high holiday. It's a high holiday." Y'all know if I have a tie on, either something's being celebrated or somebody has left the planet, okay? So, you know, and this is a celebration. I do want to thank all of you mothers, and I just want to show you something. How many of y'all believe God to be sovereign? And here's what that big word means is this. God has your life in store for you. Your job is to not create it, but to follow it. And occasionally I'm just amazed. Here at Hillview, we don't preach the newspaper and we don't preach all these little cute little stories. We got a radical idea. Let's just preach the Bible. You know, we're not smart enough to get all fancy, so we just preach the Bible. And it's interesting to me that today, when we set this sermon text several months ago, and we land on Mother's Day talking about two mothers. Now, do you think that's coincidental or spirit-led? Spirit-led. Well, now, here's what Galatians been telling us all along. You and I are not people confined to live under the law. Paul continues to be upset at the church at Galatia, who is taking this beautiful life that Christ has given and trying to confine it to a set of rules and regulations and traditions. Now, I think God is equally upset with us when we follow Jesus Christ and try to confine Jesus to our order. Does that make sense? We try to define God according to only our concept. Now let me show you the problem with that. We can only see so far. Would you agree with me? Amen. I mean, this much. And you only know as much as you know. That's right. How many of y'all would agree with that? And most of us only know the length we've lived, the books we've read, and the people we've met. Would you agree with that? Amen. So how many of y'all would agree you're not all-knowing? Amen. Boy, y'all's hands are going up slow. See, this is some of the problems we have here. You're not all-knowing. I'm not all-knowing. Guess what? I only know what I know. Here's how bad I am. I don't even know what I don't know. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? What do you think about that, Don? You don't even know what you don't know because you graduated from the same school I did. What do you think? We don't even know what we don't know. So those are not the questions that turn our life around. Who do you know? Who do you know? Jesus. How many of y'all ever had this from a mama? Your mama told you, you better watch who you run around with. How many of y'all ever heard that sermon? That's sermon 451 on Friday night. In fact, I told you all at the Southern Baptist Convention when I used to go a long time ago. And I was at the Southern Baptist Convention, this lady from South Carolina, and I love people from South Carolina because they talk well. You know, I just like to hear them talk. She turned around at me and she looked at me and she said, "Are you a young preacher?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm a preacher." And she said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe women could be preachers?" I said, "Ma'am, I have not met a woman in my life yet that does not preach." Isn't that true, ladies? And I don't know what it is, but when you ladies get a child, y'all get ordained automatically. There's no preacher like a mama. Amen? Now, and there's all kinds of different mama preachers. There's those that are a little loud, and they got a snap. The Holy Spirit gives a mother a snap that a father doesn't get. A mother can snap. It has authority, it has motion, and it has, boy or girl, you better listen to what I got to say. Yes. And then there's mamas like my mama's a subtle evangelist. She has a soft southern voice from Mississippi that packs the power of the Holy Spirit, and it has a delayed reaction. It didn't work till you got on the scene. And you get ready to do something you're not supposed to do. How many of y'all have ever tried to do something your mama told you not to do? How many of y'all hear her right before you go ahead and do it? It's soft. But my mama was always concerned about who I ran around with. Now, I grew up in an old age where parents used to discipline and things like that, and I'd get ready to go run around, and they never cared. My parents didn't care about my psychological makeup whatsoever. They never put me in time out. I didn't go through all that. I put you in this world, and I can take you out of this world. We had this understanding, which created balance for me. I've often said, and if I'd have grown up in the age of time out, I'd have definitely had some time in. There's no doubt about it. And maybe that's why we have overcrowded prisons now. I don't know. But my mom would always say, you better watch who you run around with. Didn't y'all ever hear that sermon? Mm-hmm. And how many of you, and moms just have this discerning gear. And I'm going to tell you why. It goes back to Galatians 4. If you grew up with a mother who has been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, as soon as she knew Jesus and as soon as she had you, guess what she wanted to do? Pass the promise. If you got a godly mama, I promise you, if you're a mother who is saved, you are always praying that your children will know Jesus. I don't know how many times in my life, an older lady, older mama, and finally be that renegade. He's turned the curve. He's about 55, had a heart attack, wanting to get serious about the Lord now. That's the way it works in Kentucky, amen? If it wasn't for heart attacks, we'd have a lot of lost men in Kentucky. None of them believe in Jesus today. Put that thumper on them. Boom, one thump, and now they're ready to listen. And they start making that curve, and guess who's always there? Mama. You know why? Because she put a promise in at birth. She believed what Jesus said. So, mamas, I want you to rest. If you're raising a renegade, how many of you mothers ever had to raise a renegade? My mom's not in this service, but how many of y'all, I mean, you had to, and you love them. Here's what I love about moms. Moms understand grace, and they understand that grace is the strongest substance in the world. How many of y'all found that to be true? Grace overrules rules. What do you think about that? Grace overrules rules. Grace will get you to where you need to be before the rules will. If I had some old cocky man tell me what I couldn't do, as soon as he walked away, guess what I did? Why? Because we was in a bullfight. He said I couldn't do it. Well, I'm going to show him what I can do. Now, usually I got in trouble. But when my mama said, I don't think I'd do that. I don't think we need to do that. Boy, that's a whole different. That language has what in it? Grace. And now you don't want to do it because you know it's wrong. You knew it was wrong in the first place, but there's not a challenge to it. You know if you go that way, it's not going to be the best way. So I want to thank you mothers today, you best way mothers. How many of you all have been a best way mom? You've been a best way mom. He said, I want you to know the best way. If you want to be a best way mother, then you got to show your children Jesus. Because he's what? The best way. Well, Paul goes and he continues his argument. He said, if you're going to live under the law, then you're going to live confined to your perspective. But if you're going to live in the promise that God has set in motion through Jesus Christ, then guess what? All things are possible. How many of y'all glad to know all things are possible? With God, nothing is what? Impossible. How many of y'all glad to know anybody can meet Jesus and anybody could be saved? Anybody could be saved. There's not a certain type of person that gets saved. There's one type of person that gets saved. Sinners who need grace. How many of y'all are qualified? Yeah. Well, Paul goes on. Let's look at chapter 4. Here's what he says. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you aware of what the law says? Now that's another thing. If you're going to live under the law, are you truly aware of what the law says? How many people only pick out a part of the law? Well, here, let me just show you. What sins do you usually preach about? How many of you all always get fired up about the sins you do not participate in? Oh, that's wrong, right? How many of you all preach about the sins you participate in? Well, we get a little quieter there, don't we? We're like, well, now that's not really that bad. But I mean, how many? I mean, the ones that you're a part of. How many of you go, oh, yeah, that's... You see, when you get under the law, you better be aware of what the law says, because here's what the law says. You got to keep every bit of it to be righteous. Now, do you know anybody that can do that? Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, the one who kept it, is the only one that can grace us into its reward. We won't do it ourselves. That makes sense? We won't get it all done by ourselves. So Paul, he said, you better be aware of what happened here. There are two roads to travel in. And if you really look, people only travel on these two roads. They either breathe in the grace of God and live out the grace of God, or they live according to their own standards, their own rules, their own regulations. And here's what happens. You receive your own results. How many of you all have discovered this? You can't vote consequences out. We'll try. We'll try to say, if we all agree it's okay, it's okay. But that doesn't make it okay. Have you noticed that? Or y'all still believe this? There's some things that are just wrong. How many of y'all found there's some things that'll kill you? I mean, no matter what you do, they'll kill you. No matter who says they won't kill you, they'll still what?
Kill you.
Why? They're deadly. Here's what Paul's saying. The law will kill you. And he talks about two mothers. And so I want to challenge you mothers today to be grace-speaking, grace-living, and grace-serving mothers. Isn't that pretty cool? And most of you do that naturally. But to do that, you have to have the promise. You have to have the promise. You can only be a good mother without the promise. But with the promise, you can be a mother who changes lives. What was put into Sarah? A promise. How many of y'all glad to know that we are people of promise? Are y'all getting that? Because we don't even use that word much anymore. Unless it's an election year. And what do you hear? Well, I mean, we have that term. What do we hear in an election year? How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all believe a promise from a politician? No. We've been conditioned to know what? Huh? Fly. I'm going to say what you want to hear for the moment. That's what the law does. That's what these Judaizers were doing. I'm going to tell the crowd what they want to hear that'll make them alert for the moment. See, here's the problem with our rules. They only work for the what? Moment. That's why we have amendments to the law. Because things change. But the promise never changes. How many of y'all glad to know? Long after we're gone, the cross and the resurrection and the way to heaven will still be the same. Now this room will look different. The songs will sound different. The people will probably look different. They'll probably wear different clothes. But the same promise that was given to Sarah will be the best way and the only way to get to heaven. Isn't that amazing? So Paul begins to work his argument here. He said Abraham had what? Two what? Sons. Now, some of you that want to doubt the validity of the Bible, you want to doubt the validity of the Bible. It is amazing to me that I'm reading 2,000 years, and this takes us back another 3 to 4 when we get to Abraham. And guess what? Guess what? We're dealing with this same tension every day in this day. The two sons. Abraham had two sons. One by Hagar, his concubine. A slave what? Woman. Remember what happened? You remember the story went over it last year, you remember? Abraham, remember, was given a promise by God that his wife Sarah would have a child. Well, it went on a little too long, and what did Abraham and Sarah decide to do? Help God. Remember? Now, I know you ladies can't imagine this. My wife, when we get in the Old Testament, she goes, I can't imagine that. Elizabeth said, I can't imagine. I said, I can't either. She said, here, take Hagar, because Hagar's able to have a child, and you go ahead and have a child. She tried. They tried to what? Help God. How many of y'all find anytime you try to help God, you create a mess and not a correction? How many of y'all found that to be pretty true? You helping God. Does God need our help? But He needs our obedience. Because here's why. When we try to help God, we fall short. We can only see in a limited realm. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Do y'all know what's going to happen tomorrow? Would you all have predicted 2 months ago that Opryland Hotel would be underwater today? No, we can't see into the future. But we can live out the promise in the future. See the difference? We can't see the future, but the same promise that has grabbed a hold of us in Jesus Christ stays with us in the future. He goes on, he said, now let me tell you. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. Now, mothers, I want to encourage you. Freedom, freedom, freedom ought to be a priority to those who follow Jesus Christ. How many of y'all like freedom? It's risky, though, isn't it? Why? You see, here's what freedom does. Freedom gives you the ability to succeed, but freedom also gives you the liability to fail. Absolutely. Well, you won't hear that in this society today. You only catch it live here at 8 o'clock at Hillview Heights Church. People fail. And there's a consequence to failure. I told you all 20 years ago, I went back and looked at old cassette tape. Y'all remember those ancient forms of communication? 20 years ago, I preached about participation trophies. Y'all remember that? That's 20 years ago. So I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming the first time I went to a banquet and somebody who did nothing got a trophy to make them feel better. Those are your today's leaders. And guess what we taught them? We found a value in making people feel good. Watch this. I'm going to blow you all away. It's going to fry you right here. Fried on Mother's Day. There's a sermon. God didn't come to make us feel good. He came to bring us life. Think about the life of a mother. Does it always feel good, moms? Y'all help me. I'm not a mom. Help me. I remember one time Clacy made this comment in our house. I don't know where she got it. She's about 6 years old. And Clacy still does this, but she does it in a more sophisticated way now. She's done it ever since she's born and got verbiage, which was about 3 months old. She started talking. She hadn't quit since. And she came into the kitchen and she said, Mom, I want to know why it is that moms do all the work and dads just watch TV. So I took Clacy back to the Garden of Eden and I showed her theologically how this occurred. I said, now if Adam had been watching TV instead of listening to Eve, he'd have never eaten an apple and it'd have been a different world, wouldn't it? But no. Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of work to being a mom. Amen? I don't know how mom does it. I mean, y'all just are made for it. Elizabeth can keep a domestic schedule for 3 months in her head. She doesn't even have to put it on an electronic device. She knows which kid's going where they're going there. You know how I get that? She just tells me when I wake up where we're going that day. So we have a question. Will you be a life that lives in the promise of God, or will you be under this slave woman? It goes on, Abraham had two sons. One born by a free woman, the other by a slave woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of the promise. Oh, mothers, let me tell you what. There's a big, powerful truth in here. Stay away from the ordinary way when you could have a promise. See, a lot of us are okay with just going about the ordinary way. One son was just born by the ordinary way. Wasn't born from a promise, just born from biological results. Now, God created those and put those in motion. And the fallacy was, Abraham and Sarah, didn't wait for the promise. How many of you all need to hold on and wait for the promise? You got to wait for a promise. He said, well, Pastor Steve, it's a long, long time. Now, hold on. You got a God. What kind of watch does He wear?
He don't wear a watch.
That's right. He doesn't wear a watch. Why doesn't God wear a watch? And if He did wear a watch, what would it have on the dial? Forever. What time is it? Forever. What time are we in now? Eternity. What time is it right now, Freddie? It's beginning, and it's the end, and it's the present moment, all at the same time. That's God's time. So when God sends a promise, that promise will be good. It will not be on your time, but it will be in His time. So, Mama, hang on. What does the Bible say? If you raise a child up in the ways of the Lord, what will they do? They'll return. Now, how many of y'all have ever found it interesting that it says they will return? Huh. Now, Bugsy, for something to return, it has to what? It's got to wander off. How many of y'all have ever had some, or how many of you all as a child wandered off from some of your family traditions? How many of y'all did a little Hank Williams Jr. there and broke some of your family traditions? Anybody do that? Some of y'all are lying on Mother's Day. Now, that's one thing that's going to get you in trouble, lying on Mother's Day. Look at here. Yeah, we wander off. Well, how many of y'all got new moms? Here's why. If you get Jesus into those kids, guess what? Even when they're wandering, here's what I tell mothers, because they'll be upset. They'll come in, Pastor Steve, I don't know what's happened to him. We took him to youth group, and we took him to preschool, we sent him to church camp, and Lord have mercy, here he goes, look at him, he's raising all kinds of sand out there, and he don't make a lick of sense, and what went wrong? He's a son. And he made some bad choices. He's a Baptist making bad choices. Now that's ordinary. But it's the extraordinary promise of God that brings sons and daughters who make bad choices back to the grace of God and into the promise of eternity. That's the God you and I worship. That's why Paul is just anxious to say, why would you trade in the grace of God for the ordinary way? How many of y'all live in an ordinary way when you could be living in an extraordinary way? How many of y'all got an ordinary marriage? Just humdrum. How many of y'all got ordinary children? In fact, Hillview, let me tell you what. The day we have an ordinary church, I quit. I don't want to live in the ordinary. I don't want to live in the standard. Who created these words? Why, I'm on these words. Words I hate. Average. Oh! You know what that means? You ain't bad enough to fail and you ain't good enough to succeed. Average. Average of what? Of what? Here's another word. Normal. People have spent their whole lives trying to get me normal. I refuse because I don't know what normal is. Your normal's not my normal, and my normal's not your normal, and normal's not where we want to go. We want to go promise. See, instead of being confined to an idea of people, we want to be released by the promise of God. That's what he's saying. You're either going to work your birth from the free woman or the slave woman. And he goes on. What does he tell us? Live in the promise. Moms, y'all are getting this? You're carrying the promise of God. These things may be taken figuratively. For the woman represents two covenants. One covenant from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. Slaves to this world. You don't want to be a slave to this world. Now, note the language. I'm not going to clean it up because it offends you. It's the words God used. God knows about slavery. He says, if you're going to live a life of sin, he says, what have you become? A slave to sin. He didn't say you became a participant with sin. He said you became a slave to it. It owns your life and your direction. He said, don't come out of the slave woman. That covenant is confined by law and principle, and when we break them, we're confined. But be a child of the what? Promise. How many of y'all glad to know on this Mother's Day we get to live out a promise? Mm-hmm. How many of y'all, some of y'all are here today because you guess what you did? Promised your mother. I got a suit on today. Guess why? Not because I want to have one on. Guess why? I love my mama. And guess what my mama always says? You look so nice when you preach in that suit. Now, I know you're relating to people, and I know how it is. I don't want to get into argument about a dress code. I'm just saying what. Now, used to, I wouldn't wear a suit for my mom just to get her riled up. Now that I've gotten older and I have kids of my own, I go, you know what? I'm going to do something nice for my mama. That lady instilled in me the promise of Jesus. I will always be in debt to my mother. How many of y'all are in debt to your mother? I'm in debt to women. I love women. Holy women will change you. How many of y'all found that to be true? I'm surrounded by holy women. I got a holy mother. I had a holy grandmother. I got a holy wife, and I got a holy daughter. Blake and I don't have a chance too long. Because guess what they do? Dear God. Susan, look at that family God has given you, and I'm going to tell all you boys, you have been prayed over as much as I have. And you know it works. The promise of God from a praying mother will make contact. Won't it, Sue? God, activate what you said. Not what I said, what you said. Does that make sense? And they will what? They will return. Two things I've found about people. They'll run and they'll what? Return. Come back. They'll return. He says, be careful. One is a covenant that confines. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem. The present city. The present moment. You see, when you live under the law, all you get is what you see. Now, if you want to be a mama of great worth, lead your children into a promise so they can see what they cannot see on their own. Can I ask you all a question? Any of y'all ever read any history? I mean, like read history of this nation? Anybody ever read any history? I want to encourage y'all. This is a good time to go read history. And I would encourage you to go get books that were printed like at the turn of the century. Not the ones that are printed today. Read. It's good to read. You know what people had? Dreams. And their dreams, it seems, didn't just say, bless me, but change the world. Promises that echoed a better life. Today we will not be what we are today, but something will get better tomorrow. Where did that kind of attitude go? Well, you see, when you live in the grace of God and the promise of God and the power of God and the concern of God, guess what? These promises come through. How many of y'all found that following Jesus is still a valuable thing? Hey, this has been a great week in spite of tragedy. How many of y'all heard a great witness this week? Did anybody hear a great witness this week? Don't tell me living out the promise won't provide a great witness. Did anybody see Anderson Cooper on 360 on CNN when he did the Nashville report? It blew his mind. Where was the looting? Thank God for our brothers and sisters in Nashville. They can have a flood and show the world you don't have to loot. Isn't that cool? You know what Anderson Cooper said? There's church groups down here helping. And neighbors are helping neighbors. And they're putting it back together. And they're not screaming at the government for what the government hadn't done or not done or this done. Guess what they're doing? They're putting it back together. I have to believe that there's still enough salt left in that city that they can be light. Yes. Yes. Amen? Guess where it came from?
Guess where it came from? Promise.
I know some of y'all look at me and say, man, what are you talking about? We used to be raised with conviction and character. It came from my mom. I know we can't go back. But every once in a while, I miss those days of ladies that wore hats in church and stood with stalwart principles and a forward life. We may not need to put the hat back on, but we sure need to go and get that attitude again. That God will do something greater than I can do on my own, and I want to give it to the next generation. I thank you guys for that. You helped each other out. You pulled it together. You're doing it right now. How many of y'all glad? You mothers, guess what? That children and youth facility, that preschool children and youth facility, guess why that went up in the air? To make sure that the promise of Jesus gets to the next generation. Because we want to pass down the promise of the free woman. So that children won't be confined by the slave woman. By the way, maybe you wonder, who's that slave woman? Well, Hagar had a son named Ishmael. Ishmael is the promise of Islam. How would you like to be a Muslim? If you know a little bit about them, you might understand why they're so frustrated. They have five pillars that they must follow. If they break one of the five, then they do not receive eternity, eternal life, or a connection with Allah. How would you like this faith? You can also follow all the five pillars faithfully, and Allah decide to punch you on the day of judgment. Do you reckon if you really believed those principles, it would cause you to be a little bit concerned about your eternal destiny? See, when you live under the law, it'll make you nuts. Because you're having to prove yourself every day. But when you live in grace, in the promise of grace, you get to live your life because who's greater than you are? Jesus. You don't have to earn your salvation. In Islam, you have to earn your salvation. Fundamentalist Christianity, you have to earn your salvation. Can't put makeup on. Got to wear your shorts. Got to go through all these gyrations. Why? You're proving yourself to God. God didn't ask us to prove ourselves to Him. He asked us to receive the what? Promise. How many of y'all need to receive the promise? You got two choices, two covenants, two things in motion. They're in motion today. I mean, I can just tell you my findings. I've been in several Muslim countries. I haven't seen one yet that donated a lot of freedom to its people. Why? You better understand these principles. Because guess why? They'll sneak up on you. Under and through. The law puts you under. The promise takes you through. Through this life, on to the next. The law confines you to only what you can see. And the promises releases you to everything you were created to be. What covenant you want to live under? There too. You see, there's something always coming with God. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia. And corresponds in the present city of Jerusalem. Because she is in slavery with her children. Now, Paul was speaking metaphorically, but also directly. He said, wait a minute. These religious traditions of ours will not take us to the next level. There has been a Jesus that has come to relieve us of our sins. Absolutely. And then he goes on and says this, but, Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. The Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our what? Mother. So mothers, happy Mother's Day. And here's what I want to tell you today. Thank you for living the promise of Jesus out. And more than that, thank you for giving the promise of Jesus out. And I want you to know, God is a God of freedom. He's a God of truth. And He's a God of full life. Can y'all remember those three things? He's a God of what? Freedom. He's a God of truth. And He's a God of full life. It really works in this order. When you get to the truth, you'll get to freedom and then live a what? Full life. You don't have to participate anymore. You get to live. You don't just exist. You live out a promise. Well, John McCoy did a great job today. You know what he did today? He gave witness and testimony to a faith of the free woman. John said, wait a minute, I'm a sinner. He said, wait a minute, I believe Jesus is the promise that was given. I believe that Jesus died on a cross and He's risen from the grave. And I want Jesus to come in my life. And His life is now totally changed for all eternity. Some of you in here today need to make that decision. How many of y'all have not made that decision before? Now, folks, listen, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Some of y'all like to get mad at me because I get too, you know, Pastor Harris, can't you be a little easier? Tell me that when you're in hell. Tell me that when you're in hell. How many of y'all want me to preach a gospel that makes you feel good but leads you to hell? Let me tell you the benefits of that gospel. Get more money. We'd fill the place up if I preached that cheap grace. Do what you want to do. God loves you. God blesses you. You're wonderful inside. You've been created wonderful. See, I know different. No, you ain't been created wonderful. You've been created a sinner, cursed. And there's only one way to get that curse off. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He died on the cross with all great promise. He is God's answer from a long time ago. He is God's answer that's a long way ahead of us. He is the supreme deity. He is the promise that will not be broken. He is the God of all creation. And He alone changes human life forever. How many of you believe that is an absolute reality? Anybody? That is a reality. That promise was in Sarah's womb. From Sarah's womb, guess what came? Isaac. God's promise of many nations. And guess who descended from that promise? Jesus our Lord. Amen? So moms, quick check. Don't put your kids under. Here's a knack you naturally got. Loving them will get them there faster than fussing at them. How many of y'all found fussing don't work? You know why? Can't see when you get fussed at. Have you noticed that? What do y'all do when you get fussed at? How many of y'all do this? Well, you do put your head down, you can't see where you're going. How many of y'all glad to know that God will take you to where you need to be? So surrender to Him. Mothers, I'm going to say it again. Thank you for being here. Thank you for having your children here. Husbands, thank you for being in church with your moms. I'm telling you, it's an important role. Women, listen, don't let this world tell you that you weren't successful if you didn't get a Mary Kay butterfly or whatever. Moms, you want to know when you're successful? Look down that row, and when you see a child following Jesus, then may you be honored greatly, because Jesus Christ's promise has leaped from you into them, and that is an eternal reality. May God, the God of grace, come from you and into them, and may that go on for all eternity. Amen. If you need to receive Jesus today, we absolutely want to open this altar up to people meeting Jesus. Say, what do I got to do? You got to realize you're a sinner. How many of y'all realize you're a sinner? Realize I've sinned. I haven't done what God wanted me to do. I broke the Ten Commandments. Now, please hear me on this. Please listen. In the name of Jesus, listen. You know what scares me? I live here and I say it all the time because I hear it every week. Cecil, I hear it every week. You probably have heard it every week, too. You live in South Central Kentucky all your existence like me. Well, preacher, I'm going to get around to Jesus. Jerry, you've heard this, haven't you? But I'm a good man. You know how many good men we're going to have in hell from South Central Kentucky? They knew how to whittle. They knew how to do business. Made them a few good investments. Bought them an RV. Took the grandkids to the Grand Canyon. Died and went to hell. Because they never gave their life to Jesus. They would come by the church. but they'd never come to the Lord. Serious. Some of you today may need to say, wait a minute, I need to meet this Jesus you speak of. I need to live in this promise that you talk about. Well, here's the way you do it. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my what? Sin. What's God going to do? Can I give you some good news? I've seen literally, this is not even preacher talk right here. I've seen several thousand people meet Jesus in my journey with God. I have never heard Jesus refuse a single person. I haven't. Now, maybe some other preachers have, but I haven't. I've never heard Jesus, who someone comes on their knees or stands before him and says, Lord God, I'm a sinner. I need your hope in my life. I need your grace and I need your forgiveness. I've never heard the Holy Spirit look at them and go, nah. Have y'all? If you'll repent, the promise will come in. Amen. So what's your job? To realize you need it. Repent. And to receive it. And God's going to take you from there. Amen? Amen? That's the grace of God. Well, let's stand together. Y'all been great today. Y'all give a big round of applause for all these mamas in the house today. Let them know how much you love them. I want you to open the altar will be open. If you're here and you're not a part of this church, I want you to know that you can come and be at this altar. It's everybody's altar. If you got your mama with you today, why don't you come up and pray with her? Your old bucket-headed husband like me, you might need to kind of tap your wife and say, hey, thanks for getting the promise in there. Chuck, you probably need to do that. I know I do. I mean, y'all got a wife that's been one heaven of a mother and delivered heaven to your children. Y'all just squeeze her hand and say, honey, thank you. Thank you for delivering the promise. Let me tell you what wants to deliver the promise right now. If there's anybody in this room that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I can tell you right now, it is God's desire from the power of His Word that you would be saved. That's His desire. Now, you know what some of you are going to do? I'll do it next week. Let me tell you what's going to happen. There'll be a week that catches you. There'll be a week that catches you off guard without the promise. That's the way people make it in hell. Most people in hell always intended to get to heaven. They just put it off another week. Greatest weapon the devil's got is to tell you, you got time to change. Come on, let him touch you today. If you need to be saved, be saved. If you need to be baptized, be baptized. If you've never been baptized, that means you need to be baptized. So, Pastor, why do you talk about baptism? Because Jesus talked about baptism. Why do you believe baptism's important? Because Jesus was baptized. That makes it important. Well, you don't understand, Pastor Ayers. I'm a private person, and I believe spirituality is a private thing. Well, good. Go read the Bible. It's not private in there. It's public. Jesus had a public ministry. The Apostle Paul had a public ministry. Thank God the gospel was made for the public. Amen? So let's open this altar and let God do His thing. Lord, Your Spirit, Lord, right now, Your Spirit, draw folk to the altar. Lord, we just ask right now, as people are coming, if anybody needs to come to be saved, that they would be saved. Lord, those who need to be baptized would be baptized. Lord, those mothers that need to be prayed over, be prayed over. A lot of them need to be thanked today for what they've done and how they brought grace. And so, Lord, may our lives be touched by Your power in this moment. Dear God, we thank You for our families. We thank You for our realities. We thank You for Your truth. In the name of Jesus, come on. Thank You, church. Bless these mama.
Finding myself.